Okay, welcome to a new semester of Hands-on Halacha. So, as you all know, I have with me my bag of tricks, okay, which will be just for demonstration purposes today. As we get along, we discuss different issues, such as dishwasher issues and chafing up your kitchen issues and kashering issues and bittul issues. We're going to talk about bittul means negating taste issues and all the different types of things that can come up in your kitchen. So obviously we will demonstrate them. Kashering issues. What?
Slick tops.
What do you mean? What kind of?
On stove.
Oh, you want to do that? Glass tops? When we get closer to Pesach, we'll discuss the glass tops also.
Don't have a new stove.
Somebody actually called me last night with that question. Rabbi Spalter, I'm redoing my kitchen. Is there anything that I should know? So I can tell you in 2 minutes, but I'd rather tell you over 15 weeks. It's much easier, much more fun that way. Okay, so the first thing that we need to do is to define terms, some broad terms of what's kosher and what's not kosher. So we all think that we know what's kosher. Little did you know, there's a lot more that's not kosher than you thought. Now,
I'm leaving.
This isn't a problem.
I don't want to be here.
You're going to see that this isn't really much of a problem because more or less we take a lot of this into account. Oh, I need one of them. Into account when we buy things in the grocery store. But it's important to know what are these things and what they're not. There's a lot of Hebrews, don't get freaked out by it. Right? There's two sheets, right? There's one, page one. I didn't put the page number. There's two sheets. There's two sides on each sheet. So we're just going to basically do a run-through of the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuros. The Rambam, he wrote the laws of prohibited foods. Okay, and he's going to describe to you each of the different types of prohibited foods. And we'll start with a very simple, and we'll go on to things that perhaps you did not think about. Things that are of very, very serious ramifications in the kosher kitchen today that people are simply not aware of. Now, of course, I have to start with a story from the New York Times today. This comes from today's Metropolitan Diary. I forgot to bring it. So the story goes that a woman is walking in the Central Park Tisch Zoo with her children, and they get to the part with the feeding zoo, the petting zoo, and they give you these little pellets, the food pellets to feed to the goats. So while they're feeding the goats these food pellets, they notice another child. He's not feeding the food pellets to the goats.
He's eating them.
So she says before she has an opportunity to go over to that poor child and say, you know, Sonny, it's going to make you sick. The mother comes over and says, don't eat those, they're not kosher. I don't know if that's true or not, but you can assume that the food pellets are probably not kosher. Now, why is an entirely different question. So the first thing you have to know is what animals are kosher and what animals are not kosher. So this we get straight out from the Torah. So we know what is kosher. Beginning on page number one, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon le'emor, so says God to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Dabru el b'nei Yisrael, say to the children of Israel, Zos chaya asher tochelu, mikol ha-behema asher ha-aretz. So now, it's just interesting to note that there are two types of animals that are kosher. There's behema and chaya. Behema is a domesticated animal, and a chaya is a wild animal, a non-domesticated animal. Okay? So what is kosher? Kol mafreset parsa b'shosat shasa, anything that has part hooves and is cloven footed, ma'aleg de'ra ba'behema otah tochelu, anything that has both, the two symbols, which is split hooves, and the animal chooses cud. So there are a lot of different animals that have split hooves that choose cud, like your sheep. Okay.
Oh.
Wait. And people don't realize this. Giraffe. I only had what I had at home, okay? Giraffe is also a kosher animal. By the way, why don't we eat giraffe? That is a very common misconception. I'm glad you said that.
Why?
Totally untrue. She said because the common misconception is we don't know where to shecht it. It's absolutely not true. In fact, giraffe is the easiest animal shecht because you can shecht it anywhere on its neck. Yeah, so why don't we eat giraffes?
They aren't here.
Have you ever seen a giraffe farm anywhere near here?
Yeah. Not good food.
Yeah, right. It's not. It's just not. It's 100% kosher. You could eat a giraffe. It's just it probably doesn't taste very good. And I mean, if you wanted to eat a giraffe, I can imagine it probably would taste bad, plus it'd probably be very expensive. I don't know, can you even slaughter a giraffe in America? Is it legal to slaughter a giraffe in America? Yeah, you can slaughter a shepherd. It's kosher. It's a kosher animal. More chairs? Great. Okay.
What is a coney?
What's that?
What is a coney?
Where are you?
In the coney.
Further on.
In that camel.
Oh, I don't know. Different kinds of animals. Don't eat it. Okay? All right, don't eat the coney either. Right. It's not the hot dog, right, that they serve at Coney Island. That's 100% true. And then the Torah goes on and lists a bunch of different animals that are either to their cud or they have split hooves. So one of the best examples the Torah gives is the pig. The pig is the only animal that has split hooves but does not chew its cud. And why is it a pig? Because it shows externally, it says, look at me, I'm kosher. But internally, right, you can't really tell. So pig is not kosher. Rabbit, all that kind of stuff is not kosher. Okay. So now we go on to the Rambam. Rambam says, just so you should know, on the second column, left-hand side, what's the difference between behema and chaya? Remember I told you there are two types of animals? There's an important distinction that he probably never gets to you. Ein lecha, b'chol behema b'chaya sheva olam. The only animals in the world that are kosher, shemutar mibachila chutz mi'aseret haminim hamriyim b'Torah. Okay? Meaning the Torah describes all 10 kinds that you're allowed to use in the Torah. Shlosha minei behemahim, there are three types of behema, and they are sure, an ox, seh, a ram, an ace, and a goat. Okay, those are the behemos. And shiva minei chaya, there are seven types of chaya, and they are ayal, ram, okay, tvi, a deer, and then the other ones, I don't know, you'll have to look up exactly, the yachmur, the aku, the gishon, I think one is an ibex, and, these are the other seven species of animals. You'll look around and see what they are, okay? But if you'll skip to the next one where it says tet, okay?
One must be the giraffe.
No, giraffe is a behemoth. They're all in families, in the kinds of families. I don't know, maybe one is giraffe, okay? Afapi shekulam mutarim ba'achila, even though they're all permitted to be eaten, tzrichim anu lehavdil bein behema Torah v'chaya tahora. There's a difference between behema tahora and chaya tahora. Why? What is it? Shahachaya chelba mutar. The chaya, it's chelev. What's chelev? Fat is permitted. So in a behema, there are certain parts of the fat that are absolutely prohibited. You're not allowed to eat them. Part of them goes to the kohanim. Part of them are not kosher at all. Okay, so when you shecht your behema, your cow, you have to know which fats are permitted and which are not. But if you shecht a deer, you're having venison, the whole animal's kosher. I mean, the chaylev. Okay? Right, that was a halacha, that you had either they went to the mizbeach or they had to be given to the kohen. The chaylev belonged to the kohen. It was his right.
It's not like it's his right.
For us, it's treif. It's like truma, we're going to see. For you, truma is treif. Treif meaning, just like, I mean, what do we say treif? Treif means not kosher. But treif means anything you can't eat. You know, and we're going to get to truma, and we're going to get to truma later. So if you can't eat it, and for you it's 100% treif. And so if you got chaylev on your dishes, you can't, and you couldn't kosher them, you'd have to smash them or give them to a kohen. Nowadays, right? Nowadays, you know, it wouldn't help you. You couldn't give it to a kohen. You have to destroy your dishes. So it's a halachic thing. Now, of course, we never see chaylev. Why do we never see chaylev?
Because
we never see animals being killed. Why do we never see animals being killed? Because we like it done in the factory. Maybe I should invite Rabbi Elbas to come. Should we do a shkita here? That'd be great. We should do a shkita. Yeah. He does lamb.
You'll let me know before.
You're not coming?
Who's Rabbi Elbas?
He's a shochet. He's the local shochet. Yemen? No? You know what I'm interested
in? You could do
man seder? I'm thinking about
man-seder.
It.
Man seder. Yeah, you read my mind.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. Lamb. Okay, well, you certainly learned something that day.
My brother-in-law from Israel, you know, they did all of that. And in all innocence, he said to me, I'll go get a lamb and I'll shake it in the backyard.
Right.
And I said, no. I don't want animal cruelty, people calling my children.
So isn't that interesting, though? I mean, we're talking about, I always say, no one has any problem eating the animal, it's just nobody wants to see it get killed. There's a lot to be said about our society today. We don't like the sight of blood, but, you know.
But could you cut that steak a little thicker?
Correct, exactly, exactly. No, it's not. all fat. It's only specific fats of the animal. I couldn't actually tell you where they were. And we're going to get to that. We'll get to that in a second. The second difference is v'dama ta'un kisui. Okay? There's something that is a mitzvah called kisui hadam for both birds and for animals. That when you slaughter a bird or a chaya, you have to do what's called kisui hadam. This is the shochet's job. Kisui hadam means you can't just let it spill onto the ground. You have to cover it with dirt. But when you slaughter a behema, a calf or a cow, you can just let it go down the drain. There's no mitzvah of kisui hadam. That's just what the Torah says. Okay? V'abehema ha-tahora. Okay, and the regular behemoth we told you, like a cow, chelba, the chelev, the fats that are prohibited, bikarit. Now you don't want to eat that fat. It's not only not kosher. It's a person who eats that fat gets karit. Right? Okay, so stay away from it, and we do because they just take it and they shear it off when they clean it up. Okay, what about eating people?
Mm-hmm.
Is human flesh kosher?
We don't have
cloven hooves. Okay, so is there a prohibition against eating human flesh? Cannibalism.
I hope so.
Nobody ever saw fried green tomatoes?
Sure, well,
yeah.
Here's the question. Probably there isn't.
Ah, says the Rambam. Ha'adam, man, on the human flesh, here I am. You're looking scared.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a beast and I'm about
her family.
What? Even though it says by Yi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, man became like an alive animal. Eino Michlal Mine Chaya Ba'alat Parsa. It is not included in the animal kingdom. Your Homo sapiens is not an animal. So therefore, when the Torah, not an animal of the same species or genus in the scientist as cows, correct?
We're in mammalia, which is class.
Okay.
We're in the same class. We're not the same species.
My favorite mother. I don't remember what those are anymore.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We're all mammals.
Right.
But we're not in the same species. We're homo.
Right. Okay. There we go. Different species. Therefore, when the Torah prohibits eating animals without slaughtering them, we're not in the same species. We're not prohibited. Lefikach eino b'lo taseh. And then if it's not, it would be interesting. I mean, not that I'm suggesting that you go and eat your, you know, sister. But there's no lo sase, there's no prohibition of eating human flesh. Rather, ve'ocha mi'dasar ha'adam omil chilbo. Okay, if you eat human flesh or fat, be'imin ha'chai, be'imin ha'meit, whether your, you know, is alive or not, ain't no lo ka, they can't lash you. Meaning, but if you ate, by the way, if you ate a treif, hamburger, it would take you out and lash you. So there's, nonetheless, he says, aval asahu ba'asay. But there's an asay, a mitzvah asay, that, you know, he says, you're allowed to eat certain things, and human flesh is not one of them. So, but I just thought it would be interesting to point out that of all the things that you could possibly eat that are not kosher, your sister is probably the best one. No, doesn't do anything for you? Sorry. Okay, and then we'll go on. Okay, so now we learned about the sheep, right? It's kosher. Okay, but the sheep is not always kosher. It depends on how it was killed. Okay.
Okay. Why is it that we only eat lamb?
Do I have a cow?
We don't eat mutton.
What's mutton?
Mutton is from an adult sheep.
Probably tougher. It's probably not easier.
Oh, yeah, but we eat lots of tough cuts of beef.
You actually could. There's no reason not to. I don't know. Maybe because the mutton, they save it for... Are you sure? I don't really know. You have to ask a...
The butcher.
Yeah, well, I don't really know. First kind of prohibited animal is a navela. Navela means... What does navela mean? Navela means that the animal was killed not through shechita. If you look down in the bottom left-hand corner. Ha'ochel kezayis mi'besar behema shemesa. If you eat from an animal, a kosher animal that died, o chaya shemesa, or a kosher chaya, remember we learned a chaya and behema that died, o of shemesa, or a dead bird, loke, you're blessed. Why? So now as it says, lo tochlu kol nevela. You may not eat any nevela. So the term nevela is very important. We say nevelas and trefas. You've never heard that, right? That they're feeding you nevelas and trefas. You ever heard that term? So a nevela is an animal that died not by through proper shechita. Okay? V'chol shelo nishchata kirai, any animal that was slaughtered improperly, harezo nesha. Okay? That animal is considered a mesha, a dead animal, is not considered slaughtered properly. And if you learn the laws of shechita, the laws of slaughtering, you'll know, let's say there was a nick in the knife. Right, so that renders the whole shechita improper. All the animals are not kosher. Ah, it's a kosher animal. Ah, you slaughtered it. No. So and if he pressed too hard, if the shochet pressed too hard, or he didn't slaughter properly in two cuts, all of those different things that a shochet needs to know about, if he does them improperly, the animal is an avela, which is one reason that Jewish hunting is considered a barbaric to Jewish people. Why? Because you can never eat the meat.
It's only for sport.
Right. Which is why, I mean, if you could eat the meat, that would be one thing. But you'd have to actually, you'd have to have some kind of, I don't know, dart gun, I guess, and stun the animal. But then wait till it wakes up again, I guess. Do they have deer darts?
Please bend over, I want to touch your neck.
Right. You don't ask them nicely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You can tie them up and knock them down. But that's what they would do. But again, that's a nevela. Okay, so a nevela is not a non-kosher animal. So any, let's say, for example, any beef from Tyson, right? How do they? Anyone how they slaughter the animals in Tyson's food? No, or any of these major meat packers?
They stun them. They probably.
No, they shoot. In the back of the head. Right. They bolt them. Okay. Those are called nevela. So for a lot of different reasons, it's a kosher animal, but it's not kosher because it's a nevela. Okay? In addition to nevela, there's another thing called a trefa. What's a trefa? Anybody know?
I thought it was something trafe that was pulled apart, like killed by another animal.
Right. Wait. Very good. So now says the Rama. See, but these are very important terms to know. So let's learn what the difference between a behema and a chaya was, both kosher animals. Then we learn nevela, which is either killed or not slaughtered properly. And now what's a trefa? Says the Rambam. See on the bottom right-hand corner. Ha'ochel kezayas nibasar behema o chaya o of tahorim. Okay, if you eat a kezayas, remember, why does he always say you're eating a kezayas? What's a kezayas? An olive measure. A small amount. Why does he always say kezayas? Because he's trying to show you what's the Torah prohibition. What is the Torah prohibition? So you only violate a Torah prohibition if you eat a kezayas. Now, rabbinically, you're not allowed to eat any amount. We're talking about the Torah prohibition of the flesh of a behema, ochaya, or of tahori. Right? An animal that's kosher. A kosher animal, a kosher bird, shenitrefu. We'll see what that is. And then loke. Okay? You get malchus, meaning you violate a Torah prohibition. Shenemar, as it says, ubasar basade trefa, lo tochelu. The animal, the meat of an animal that's trefa, that's pulled apart. You're right. You may not eat. Lakelev tashlichun also. You must throw it to the dogs. What does that mean? Trefa ha'amura b'tora. What does that mean, this idea of trefa? Zu shetarfa osa chaisas hayar. It's an animal that had been attacked, ripped apart by the wild animals of the field. Kagon, like Ari, a lion, v'namer, or a...
Tiger?
Could be. Jaguar. I don't think so. Something. And similar things. V'chein, ov shetaraf oto ov doreis. Let's say a falcon attacked your chicken.
That's first thing.
Right. Okay. One second. Kagon, neitu kiyotzi v'zeh. V'ein ata yachol amar shetarfa oso v'hinisha oso. He says, but the animal lived. And you can't say that this animal was killed. Why? Because if it was killed,
it'd be dead.
What would it be called?
Trefa.
No.
A nevela.
Right. If it was dead already, it would be a nevela. You couldn't eat it. So imesa raised a nevela. It would be a nevela. Umali mesa machmas atzma. Who cares if it died on its own? Oh, hika besides, if you cut off its head. Behemisa. Oh, sivara arivi. So who cares if an animal killed it or you killed it? That's a nevela. So what's a trefa? A trefa is, very important, an animal that was slaughtered properly, but it would have died anyway. Because it was attacked in the field. That's what a trefa is. So he says, and by the way, this was a very, very significant, important, very tough shaila for most of history. Why? Because, you know, it was a big deal to try to catch an animal or to try to raise an animal and slaughter an animal. Okay, so the problem would be now that the animal is slaughtered, now you have to check it to make sure that it's not a trefa. Okay? So this is, by the way, we're going to get into this idea in more in greater depth. Okay? Okay? Trefa. So, for example, so the, basically, the rule of the trefa is, would the animal that you slaughtered have lived out the year or not? And the Rabbanan gave very specific signs. Criteria and signs for whether this animal would have lived or would not have lived. So, because I'm going to give you an example.
The lungs.
Good. Right.
Holes in the
lung. If you, very good. Right. If you, if you slaughter, if you slaughter an animal, you have to examine the lungs. Why? Because if there was a hole in the lungs, the animal would not have. Would not have survived. Now,
certain kind of holes. There were certain kinds of. It depends on how it healed and how it healed. So.
Ah, that's not a hole. What happens if there are lesions on the lung? Okay, so there are lesions on the lung showing that there was an illness in the lung, but it had healed. Is that kosher or is that not kosher? Very good. So very good. Well, we'll see. It's very interesting. Oh. So then you would say that the lung is not smooth, right? How do you say smooth in Yiddish?
Glatt.
Glatt. So when they talk about food being glatt kosher, what it is supposed to mean is that the lung of the animal, the lung of the cow, was totally smooth, and therefore it's considered glatt kosher. That's not what glatt kosher means today, by the way. Right? Glatt kosher today includes small lesions in the lung. But then there's something called Beit Yosef glatt. Beit Yosef glatt is when the lung is 100% smooth. If you go to your average slaughterhouse, a very small percentage of animals are Beit Yosef glatt, or 100% smooth. All animals, you know, I mean, they're out in the fields, you know. Let's be honest. You buy your steer, you have no idea that your steer didn't come from Colorado. The guy, and that poor animal was out in the snowstorm for the past, you know, 30 days, just trying to make it. You have no idea where your animal came from. So, and that's where the idea of glatt kosher, people don't really understand, they don't know, comes from the question of, is the animal a trefa or not? Very often it would come up. Let's say the animal swallowed a piece of debris. Let's say the animal swallowed a piece of dirt or dust or often a nail or something like that. It depends where you found it. You know, if the animal punctured itself, if the animal injured itself, all these things would have to be examined. So it's very interesting. If you've ever gone to a slaughterhouse, we should arrange it. You know, you know, we've got a field trip, you know, right? So one of the things they do, they have this big, the shochet will then remove a lung, or maybe both. I don't remember. He's got this air pipe, kind of like on a lab table.
On a helium balloon.
Not like a helium balloon, but and he'll attach the lung, and I'll just
blow it up.
He like blow it up. Because that's what happens when the animal breathes. And if it had a hole in it,
it would leak.
It would leak. It wouldn't blow up. That's the way they checked it. That's the way they check it nowadays. It's the easiest way to check it.
What if you cook a chicken
and
find out that one of the legs is broken?
Ah, very important question. So nowadays, there's no way to really tell. Usually, most often, we can assume that the animal's leg was broken
post,
after shechita, because... If you've ever gone, I have, to chicken factories, there are people that are supposed to be checking certain limbs and sinews. Again, every animal has to be checked in order to make sure that it's not a trefa, every chicken also. Now, to be brutally honest, if you are sitting there checking probably 1,000 chickens an hour, you know, it's hard in the mass-produced world in which we live. You know, it's like everything else. You want it to be kosherer, more kosher, do it yourself. But I don't know anybody who still wants to slaughter their own chickens. So we rely on, you know, the OU and the KAJ. You know, one of the things that you're relying on them to do is checking to make sure that the chicken you bought was not a trefa. And these were the most difficult, most famous shiloh that Rabbanim would get throughout definitely most of, you know, from medieval Jewish period on. That slaughtered the chicken, it was not a small deal, chickens were expensive. The shochet checked it, he opened it up, found something, right? And then, you know, you've all heard the story, the child running the chicken over to the rabbi, they're saying it's kosher, not saying it's kosher, switching with his own, you know, like all that kind of stuff. You've heard the stories. But that's to check if it's what?
Actually, I have.
No, all right. That's to check if it's a trefa or not. Trefa means would it have survived the year or not. So you have two different terms. Nebela, I mean, nebela we almost never come in contact with. You would never have anything to do with it. Or trefa. And those are two different halakha categories. Trefa, and again, these are things, it's important to understand what they are, to understand how we never, ever encounter them anymore. Why? Because it goes one step and it's close to me. But the guy, if you're wondering why is the meat so expensive, because he had to worry that the shochet did his job properly, and he also had to absorb the cost of all the animals that were trefas.
Oh, wow.
You know? So what did he do? So what do they do nowadays?
They sell it to trefe.
They sell it to trefe. Right. They say, if you would ask a real meat expert, they will tell you that there's got to be some percentage, 20, at least 20, 25% of the animals are not kosher when you buy them. And if you've ever gone to, you know, sales, when I first got here, Mr. Flatt was well. He was well. And he invited me, probably the first year I was here, to go to a cattle auction. And he's a very small potatoes guy. He was only slaughtering 100 head of cattle at a time, 50, 60, 100, not more than that. And he would buy them by the steer. He would go to the auction and buy the steer, and he would somehow, he had a good eye, because he could tell what was a good-looking animal and what was not. I guess if you spend 70 years of your life, you know, 60 years of your life buying animals, you develop a good skill for it. But you see the animals that they're selling. And nowadays, when Lubashkin buys animals, they buy them by the lot, thousands of animals at a time.
What, Lubashkin?
Lubashkin, or Empire, or anybody.
Oh, there's something.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. Okay.
There's no way for you to say, I only want the healthy ones. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a reason why a Big Mac costs a buck. And it ain't because they're buying USDA prime choice. I'll tell you honestly, because I was watching the NFL playoffs.
Oh.
Every other commercial is for fast food. And it struck me how this is what America eats. Every other commercial. It's really sad. Anyway, next thing. That's Behema, that's Nevela, and Trefa.
But the kosher quarter is the hindquarter. Mm-hmm. They can't use.
Oh, we're there. We're not there yet.
The hindquarter is probably the most lucrative, so they can sell the hindquarter.
Yeah, right? Not as kosher.
They cannot. No, but they cannot.
Not as. Okay.
The trade guys would want the hindquarter.
Look at the bottom of the second side. Yeah, they do. I mean, but still, you can sell it, but not for. But you have to. They know you have to get rid of the hindquarter. You know what I'm saying? So I guess there's a market rate, but still, you're not getting your full value. It's not Eber Minachai. See where it says that's a mistake. It's not Eber Minachai, the hindquarter. What's it called? The hindquarter? I didn't correct the Hebrew. That's called the Gid HaNasheh.
Yeah,
right? So that's the sciatic nerve. Okay? Gid HaNasheh. I'm in the bottom left hand corner. Noheg Behema Bechaya HaTahorim. Okay? It applies to Chaya and Behema Rafilu B'Nevelos U'Trefos Shelahem. Even Nevelos U'Trefos. In any kind of animal, even let's say, very strange case, you never see this, but let's say you slaughter an animal and it had an embryo inside of it, a fully formed, unborn calf. You can eat it. And they said it was a delicacy, a huge delicacy.
My grandmother.
Kosher. She didn't have to eat slaughtered.
Chickens, just fresh from the, you know, and. She put the unborn eggs
right.
In the
soup. They said it was a big delicacy. Big delicacy. So
and
the same thing is true.
The cloth.
Nobody wasted anything. And just ask me.
Well,
okay.
The cloth made from a fetal cow is also very. In fact, one of our Torahs, one of our Sephirim, is made from the cloth is made from.
Embryonic calves. Fetal calves?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that's Gid HaNasheh. You can't eat it. It's a sciatic nerve. And the other one is, look on the other side, they put it together, Chelev. Okay? Chelev, prohibited fat. Chelev, if you eat a Chelev, but Nezid, Chayav, Karet.
We don't have
a reason
why we can't
eat it. Torah prohibits it. Absolutely, it prohibits it. You can't eat it. Right. God said you can't have those fats. Some of the fats went to the Kohanim, most of them are prohibited. Now, they know which fats are prohibited. Okay, what is the process of removing the prohibited fats and the process of removing the sciatic nerve, the Gid HaNasheh, called? Anybody know?
Traver.
It's called, right, in Hebrew it's called Nikur, Nun Yud Kuf Vav Resh, Nikur. And in Yiddish, it's called trebering. Okay, which means, and if you've ever, it's interesting, I just got an email from the Orthodox Union. They appointed me to this Kashrus Commission. I'm on some RCA Kashrus Commission. So I got a special invitation to go to the OU, and they're going to have an expert menacher doing Nikur. Just to show you what is Nikur, what is the sciatic, what are the nerves, what are the blood vessels that have to be removed. Very, very fine, it has to be very, very carefully done. It's not a simple matter to do Nikur. Very often in America, what will they do? In America, what will they do? Shell the whole Concordia. But most people, when they slaughtered an animal, it was like, I'm making a wedding. You buy the cow, and you slaughter the cow. Right? It wasn't like, you know, whole industries. So you needed someone who knew how to do this. It's very deft, very specific, very careful. Right, they make sure they know how to make a cut, and then the vein comes out. It's very, very complicated stuff. And I have no shame in saying, as a rabbi, this is not what is necessary for me to know nowadays. You know, if somebody asks me about Nikur, you know, go ask Rabbi Zacharias. He learned how to do it when he was in yeshiva. But nowadays, you just have no idea. Yeah.
Was that when my brother-in-law was here? He also was talking about something that I had never heard of before. Mm-hmm. He said that it was the tail of the animal. It's something to do with the tail, and you kosher it in a certain way, and it's very tender.
Talking about the udder?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I never heard of it.
There's something about the udder has to be kosher in a certain way, because the udder is meat that tastes like milk. Full of milk. Don't be grossed out. You ever eat tongue?
No.
Never. Liver?
Oh, yeah.
Kishka?
My sister wouldn't bring me in eating.
You never had hoof soup? No. I mean, sha? No. Oh, that stuff grosses me out. It just tastes terrible. They didn't waste anything. You know why they didn't waste anything? Because they didn't have anything. Who wasted?
No.
I was a little girl, we ate Waldus.
That's right. That's right. And you liked it.
Brains. Oh, so good.
Yes. Okay. So all of these things. So that's why.
Chicken feet.
Okay. Right. That goes in the garbage either. So that's why it was a skill called Nikur. You learned it from a menacher. It's passed down from one generation to the next. These are important things for people to know, just to be aware of.
They do it in Israel, don't they?
Okay.
There are some that can do it in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, people here can do it. There are experts who
really?
Can do it. Sure, absolutely. You have to know what you're doing. It's not that you can't do it.
Then why aren't there any prime on any of those?
I think it's not worth their time in America to do it. If you wanted to hire someone to do it, it also mutilates the meat. You wouldn't get you have to cut through the meat. You won't get a good piece. If you want to hire somebody to do it, they'll do it for you. And then you can roast it, enjoy it. Yeah.
So that brings up my question, which maybe doesn't matter, but Is tenderloin the gita nasha, or is that the hind quarter? That
I don't know the cuts of meat well enough to tell you, but I think to some degree, yes, it is.
It's from the hind quarter.
And right, yes.
This is the gita nasha.
The gita nasha is found in it, in there.
That's why it's called loin.
Right.
What?
That's why it's called loin.
Correct.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Now we turn to, I'm going to skip a couple of other things. Now I'm going to skip the top of the page. Crawling animals. Okay, so I've got, let's see what I got here. Alligators. Okay. If you eat a kazayas of a sheret, of a creepy crawly thing, you're not allowed to eat crawling animals. You can't eat any of those. Shinamar, as it says, it's an abomination. It's disgusting. Okay? You may not eat it. Do I have any more? No.
You have small children.
What? I got another one. What? No, I'm going to see you in a second. Next one. Sheret Hayam. Okay, an example of this is Shmona Shvatim Rambu Torah, there are seven kinds. Acholed, the Achbar, the Rizal, and the Rat, Vatsava, Anaka, Vakoach, Valta'ah. These different kinds of crawling animals that are not permitted, what is not permitted to eat. Ground hogs, you just can't eat these things. I assume squirrels, you know, all these are fall under the family of Sheret Haaretz. What?
Rodents.
Don't eat rodents. They're not kosher. Okay? But then there's another type of sheret that is also prohibited. And now we get into something that comes up a lot in halacha that we're going to invest some time in. And it's going to be really hands-on. We're going to see. That's called Sheret Hayam. Ha'ocha gazayis miseretz hamayim. What is a seretz hamayim? The creepy crawly things of the water. Lokeh min ha'torah. You get lashes, shenemar. Al tishaknu es nafsho seichem. Okay, do not defile your souls. B'chol seretz ha'seretz, with any creepy crawly thing that creeps and crawls. V'lokeh tamu b'ham. And do not defile yourselves with them. Harei kalau b'lav zeh. So in this, the Torah includes in this prohibition, sheretz ha'aretz, v'sheretz ha'oth, v'sheretz ha'mayim. Things that crawl on the ground, things that fly in the air, creep and crawl in the air, and things that creep and crawl in the water. Eizahu sheretz ha'mayim. What is sheretz ha'mayim? Says the Rambam. Ela brios haktonos. These are small organisms. Kamo tola'im. Tola'im are worms, alukasha b'mayim, that and the bugs in the water, and other bigger things, saying chayot hayam. Okay, klalos of the bar. The rule is kol she'eno b'tzurat hadagim. Okay, anything that is not in the shape of fish. Okay, so for another example, snakes. Right, snake is not kosher.
And lobster.
Lobster, and all those things. Okay? Right. Oh, by the way, what about this guy? Grasshoppers.
Some
are kosher. Some are kosher. We don't have a misora, but some started and have a misora to eat grasshopper. Okay, so if you're smarty, you're smarty, right?
So one in Israel.
In Israel, you can still buy.
One in the makos was kosher then.
Yes. By the way, that's what they say. One of the makos, the part of the whole thing was Arbeh, that God blew it away after it came. Why? Because if God had left it there, the Egyptians would have had a field day. They would have been very happy. Oh, good, dinner. So therefore, when the locusts were finished eating, they blew on out. Not one locust remained in the land of Egypt. Anyway, okay. What about Yud Gimel? Eila haminim shenivraim ve'ashpot u'begunufei nevela. This is Ms. Lorch, it's for you, science. Okay. Look at the Rambam says. What about the species that are born, that are created in garbage and in carcasses?
First of all, they cannot be created.
No, I knew you would find it. I knew you would find it fascinating. According to medieval science,
they were.
They believed
spontaneous generation.
Correct. They believed in spontaneous generation of maggots and worms and things of that nature. So, what about those? Are those kosher? Says the Rambam, "Tigon grima utolaya, like maggots and worms and disgusting things. Piyote behem and similar things." Listen how he writes it. I mean, again, like you see, she'enan nivra'im mizachar min hanekeva, that are not created out of male and female.
That's not true.
It's not true. But this is how he understood how they were created. Ela min hadlalim, rather they're created out of dung, she'ishrichu, and similar things. Hei hanikra'im romes al ha'aretz. Those are the sheretz that's romes al ha'aretz. So you've got spiders, and I don't even know what that is, okay? Beetles, right, and things of that nature. Oh, don't forget caterpillars. Okay, what? Cockroaches. Okay, those are sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. But what?
Centipedes.
Right. Okay. He says it's so interesting. The alchel man kazayas, if you eat a kazayas of them, if you take, I don't know, a blender and blend up your beetles or something, you eat a kazayas of them. Lokeh. You get malchus. Shenemar v'loti tamu enach shel chesachem. You should not defile your souls. V'chol sheretz ha'remes alas. About creepy crawly things. V'afa pi she'ein parim v'ravim. This is the Rambam says, even though they don't multiply. They don't multiply sexually.
Oh my.
That's what he believed. Well, that's what the science of the time taught. So now, Rambam was wrong, and the science of the times is wrong, and they do multiply. So is it now kosher?
No,
still not kosher. Okay. Now he says a kazayas. So nobody eats a kazayas of bugs. That's gross. So that is very important. Next one, kaf aleph.
There's a bug in your salad.
Bugs in the salad. Bugs in the vegetables. Right.
So that's
bugs in the water. We did the bugs. Didn't we do bugs in the water in Brooklyn? Purple pies. We did that. Bugs in the water. Zeh amanu preparek zeh ha'ochel kazayit. That which we said in this chapter, if you eat a kazayit, you know, if you want to eat a kazayit of bugs, you'd have to eat this much cockroaches. A couple of them. Okay.
Some of the Madagascar hissing.
Gross. Okay. Kisha'acha kazayit miberia gedola. That's only if you ate a kazayit of a big animal. Right, of a big organism. I ate a little snake and a little, tarantula. What? Right? And I, together I have a kazayas of casserole. Yum. Okay? But, okay, that's when you need kazayas. Aval ha'ochel beria tamea bifnei atzma kula. But if you eat, this is where the halacha comes in. If you eat an entire organism, a whole beria, harezeh lo ke min ha-Torah, then you get malchus, afilu haita pachuta min ha-chardal. Even if it's smaller than an onion seed. So therein is the rub. Right? It's not a kazayas of a bug. That's only if you pull out the leg and eat the kazayas. But if you eat an entire bug, then it's prohibited to eat an entire organism. And that's when you get into such complicated issues with bugs in the salad and bugs in the water and bugs in your vegetables specifically. And what we're going to learn, I'm going to show you, why, for example, some foods are kosher, some foods require hashgacha, some foods don't. Hopefully we'll do this really hands-on. I plan one of these weeks. I'm basically going to go to Westbourne and pull off the shelves some different kinds of lettuce that they have, and we're going to see if there are bugs in the lettuce or not. Actually, I take that back. You will see that there are bugs in the lettuce. Okay? And people, I got to tell you, I was one of them until quite a few years ago, I would say. Come on, can't everybody relax? Really, let's be honest. Well, let's take a look. Let's see what we find. And you read in the Rambam, a bug is a bug. Prohibition is a prohibition. And if you're perfectly welcome to eat the lettuce, there's only one thing you got to do first. Clean it. Right. So, we live in America and we're lazy. That's okay. That doesn't mean that the bug now becomes kosher. And somehow, in I would call it, I don't know what you want to call it, more modern homes or whatever, this bug thing is seen as a chumrah. It's seen as like, that's the new chumrah of the month. There are chumras of the month, and I'll tell you what they are, and that you don't have to worry about them. I mean, that's okay. But bugs are not a chumrah. It's in the Rambam. You're not allowed to eat bugs. And that's it's a serious problem. Yeah.
But why is it that we get so worked up if there's a bug in the salad which we can't even see with our own eyes?
Ah.
But yet we can have, I don't know if it's still the same, but I know a number of years ago before you came here, we had a kosher establishment that there were cockroaches found in their food when the people ate into it, but still it was given
the kosher? They were serving cockroaches?
They didn't serve it. It was actually because they had a bug problem. It probably had fallen into the batter. And then when the person...
you lost me here.
It's the truth. I mean, if they ran...
But that's not a health... That's not a conscious issue. That's a health department issue.
Well, it's also... What I'm saying is, how could they give that establishment... The kosher, why
did
they say that it's kosher?
Well, okay, let's all agree cockroaches are not kosher, and if an establishment is intentionally serving cockroaches, they should remove their hashgacha. You're talking about a health department problem, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember there was a big article in Consumer Reports about insects that they found in tuna fish.
100%.
And I wrote to the OU and because they gave hash, and it was found in a brand that was OU.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't worry about those.
Really?
Back then. They're just pieces and
we... Ah, we'll get to that. Very good. We're going to get to that. We'll get to that issue. Very good.
You chop up the cockroach before you put it in the
mat. You chop up the tuna fish, you're better off. That's correct. That is not a joke. And we're going to see, by the way, for example, raspberries are notorious for being infested with bugs. Notorious. Yet, you go to the store and you see that OU has polymer raspberry preserves made by real raspberries. Now, do you mean to tell me that they sat there and checked tons and tons of bushels of raspberries? So how is it that the OU allowed it to be kosher? Now you're starting to understand. Very good. Well, as we shall see. You might be allowed to eat it, but I don't know if Emily's going to want to eat it afterwards.
Make sure you get some romaine lettuce.
What?
Make sure you get some romaine lettuce.
No, I don't need romaine. You'll see. There'll be regular lettuce. You'll see. Not a problem. Okay, I skipped. Did you dying animals, bugs and such. Okay, now we go to a whole other Let's go back to... No, but that's in another category. Let's go to Aver Minachai first. Aver Minachai. I couldn't find a live animal, so I just had to pick out the Aver. Okay? Right? But let's assume that the chicken was still alive. Okay? One is not allowed to eat limbs or whatever from live animals. Okay? It sounds disgusting. I have no idea why somebody would do this, by the way. Just for our own information, this is also one of the Shiva Mitzvahs Kinei Noah that non-Jews are also prohibited. I've only once in my life seen this. Remember there was a TV show back in the 70s or 80s called That's Incredible?
No.
No? Anybody remember that? Great show. That's incredible. Everybody, you know, there'd be some crazy thing that somebody would do. Some guy ate a live lobster on That's Incredible, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, he's not allowed to do that. It was gross. Anyway, don't do that. Okay. So we did. Now, turn to the second page for a second. Wow, this is unbelievable. Okay. No, this page two.
Animals?
Milk and meat and blood. Let me do milk and meat and blood first. Okay. And then I'll come to the
second page.
Second page. What time is that? I think I'm running out of time. I got 10 minutes. Okay. So then we'll fly through this stuff. First one is blood. Okay. Blood. Right?
Thank you.
I didn't mean real blood. Blood is prohibited. So it says Rambam, Ha'ocha min hadam b'meizid chayiv karis. Many middlemen said, actually, interestingly enough, he said that in the concentration camps, they used to make a sausage out of the blood.
They call it blood sausage.
Yeah, that's because it's cheap, and that's what they would serve. You know, and I'm sure they serve it today, so we don't need any of that.
Yeah.
The shell gauge, and so you're not allowed to. The Torah says, "Why ki hadam hu nefesh?" The dam, the blood, is the soul of the living thing. Totally prohibited. The shell gauge, maybe chatas kavur. If you by accident, you're in chatas. The da, okay, etc. If you only chayav on certain types of blood, okay, blah 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 blah. Now, fish blood is not prohibited, by the way. You just can't drink it. I don't know, anybody want to drink fish blood?
No.
Okay. All right. And also, fish are off. Fish, there's no shechita for fish. You didn't know that, right? So you just have to kill it and then.
Hit it on its head.
What?
Hit it on the head.
Hit it in the head. Have you ever?
I used to go buy live fish.
Yeah.
Forgot his name. I'd set him up in Coolidge, Air Pesach, or an Arab Yontif. They're swimming around and
right.
Pick my carp and right.
Right.
He would take the carp out, put it on his table.
Bam.
A mallet.
Cut it out. Yeah.
And
cut it up for you. Right. So that's the fish are off.
Live fish store on Broadway.
By the way, it's the best fish. It's the best fish. Live fish. And not carp. Carp is terrible.
Oh, no. You'll have a discussion, I'm joking with that.
You like carp? Carp is, you see carp out of the lake?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
But it's what most people ate. Pesach
time. Like, why? You know why?
It was cheap.
Right, because it was a bottom feeder. It was cheap. Base dam ha'adam asim gevay sofrim impurish. Human blood is also prohibited if it can comes out. Umakin alav makas marbe. So if you like cut your finger, you shouldn't lick it. You shouldn't do that. It's not
for
sure. What?
It's for any human. Midi
rabbana, you're not allowed to drink it for sure. Okay.
If you get cut or something, or even your mouth,
what
you?
In your mouth, it's about dam shinayim. But if it's in your mouth already, if it's from your teeth, then you're allowed to bolo swallow it, not a problem. Okay. But habesha nashach bepar. Let's say you bit into a piece of bread. And you had a toothache, and there's blood on there. So what do you have to do? Rip a little piece off. Right? Then he says, no. Okay, goras adam ba'achakach ochel. Then you take off the bloody part, and then you can eat it. But just human blood is not kosher. You shouldn't eat human blood.
Oh.
As opposed to human flesh, which is not so bad, right?
But even a minute amount, like if you have a cut on your finger, you can't like...
Suck on it? Yeah,
normal
thing. Minute amount? I don't know. Does that make it any better if you suck on it?
It's, yes.
Oh, really?
Saliva in your mouth that gets into bodies and makes it still. That's the normal. I mean, your body's normal function is just.
Yeah.
Don't suck on it. You know, just put the stuff on there and you're okay. But I wouldn't drink it.
No.
Yeah. Okay. The next one that you all know about, milk and meat together. Also the fellow, okay? And this we're going to spend a lot of time on, obviously. But I just wanted to show you, you know, that you sense there's all these things that you know what the prohibitions are. And on my list, there's 15 different types of things that are not kosher. You know, I mean, most people don't realize, I'm just listing them. You know, how many different types of things are prohibited for a person to eat. We'll just go over this at the end.
It's interesting, among the Goyim, the ones, the deer hunters...
Yeah.
Usually when the kid kills his first deer, they have him drink the blood.
As a
seriously, yes. these
not prohibited. Nice. It's only Jews, not prohibited for an Jew.
Well, I'm just saying, that's, you know.
Doesn't work for you. Okay, next, Basil B'challah, melted meat. Basil B'challah, so this is an interesting one because it's different than most things. Asur levaslo, you may not cook it. The asur le'achlo min ha'Torah, and you can't eat it. The asur behanoa, you can't have benefit from it. You can't have benefit from it. So let's say you're I don't know, a domestic worker working as a chef in some place. It's a very big problem to be a kosher chef, to be a Jewish chef. Why? Because everything you learn in any culinary school is milk and meat together. It's all these sauces. You're not allowed to cook milk and meat together, even if you're not going to eat it. Another thing you're not allowed to do is have hana, benefit from it. So let's say your coworker brings you a Big Mac and says, "Here, I brought this for you. Enjoy, a cheeseburger." You're not even allowed to give it to somebody else as a gift.
You can't sell it either.
Can't sell it either because you're benefiting from it. Yeah.
What about, the television Food Network?
Yeah.
They show, trade food being cooked. You're not allowed to watch it.
Oh, you can watch it because you don't have to do it that way.
Shoot. No, but you're benefiting from...
Not from the actual food. I don't think I don't think that's a problem. Okay? So you're now at the three prohibitions. It says in the Torah three times, right? It says, why three times? One for cooking, one for eating, and one for hana, one for benefiting from it. So another example would be, let's say, for example, you're cooking your meat, and you accidentally cook it in a fleshik pot, in a milchik pot. In a real milchik pot, or you accidentally cook it with butter or something like that, and it becomes real basar b'challah, you can't give it to the dog. And that's something that people don't know. You're not allowed to give it to the dog because that's basar b'challah, that's milking meat together. Sometimes this comes up with dog food. Sometimes this comes up. People who own animals, right, it could very well be that the dog food or the cat food is basar b'challah. That is very rarely. It's worthwhile to check. To make sure that it's not already been cooked.
We check the ingredients, make sure we're not buying, shrimp and stuff.
Right. Well, that's okay.
We check.
Shrimp you can do. Shrimp? Sure, why not?
Hey.
You've been staying away from it.
By the way, people don't know. What do you feed your fish on Pesach? Because all of the...
It commishes the venomous tissues and stuff.
Because all of the fish food is chametz, and the answer is shrimp. Real shrimp, sure, why not?
All right, so we can try that.
We can try something else.
It's not also the hana. Remember, shrimp is not reality. Shrimp is a sheret. Shrimp is a bug of the water.
It's just something about buying it.
You guys have your own hang-ups, I can't help you.
I know, we learned something new.
We just learned something.
Okay, the last thing, the last thing was,
okay,
what?
Produce prohibition.
That's good. So that has to be the real thing. Read about this in Myers. Okay? It says, look carefully. No, it's
from Israel.
Product of Israel. Okay? Right? You can't eat this. Unless...
Unless
you take off shemos and maaser. Now, by the way, every year, what? Take off the tithes and the truma. And this is a serious issue, not a small issue, a very serious issue. It just so happens to be, it's not hard to take off truma. So we will spend one class, probably one of the first classes, showing you how to take it off.
What?
Really?
It's real. I thought it was for you.
It's absolutely real. It's okay.
Very nice.
Okay, and you buy them, and by the way, she bought persimmons also that are products of Israel.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so the Rambam says, first of all, we're going to get to it. Chadash, these are important terms. Chadash.
Where are you right now?
I'm on the bottom of that chart. I'm sorry, I didn't put the page number. I apologize. Chadash, grains. This is vital wheat gluten. Chadash is grain. We're going to see in a second. What is chadash? Grain that was produced after the beginning of Pesach, before the next Pesach. Chadash. I never heard of this terminology. Anybody ever heard of this term? Chadash?
No. What do you mean by
Yashan?
Yashan means old. Chadash means new. Right? Yashan is old grain. You ever go to Jerusalem, and it says all of our flour is Yashan flour.
Right.
Right? So obviously this is not something that nobody keeps. And we're going to talk about...
As I understand it, years ago we never used to have this problem because we always had old wheat. In other words, our wheat used to be stored.
That's not true anymore. That's absolutely not true anymore.
I know now it's not true anymore.
I think that you people used to say that it wasn't a problem. I'm not sure that it ever wasn't really a problem.
And that goes for stuff for grown outside of Israel?
Ah, so that's the issue. We're going to talk about that. It's a very good question. It's a big halakhic issue. But you should be aware there is such a thing as chadash. And chadash applies. It is probably one of the more difficult halachos, kashrus halachos to keep, because it is really all encompassing. It's very, very challenging because, you got to know when were the Cheerios made, and you got to know when was the oats produced. It really can be very, very challenging, and there are people that do it.
When did you say it was made again?
From Pesach, right after Pesach. After one Pesach to the next Pesach. So, for example, anything you buy in the summer is going to be fine because you can assume that all the wheat was grown before Pesach. And that's assumed. But as you get into the fall and the winter, it becomes much more difficult to assume. So this says, sell by 12/02/2007, which means that they did it probably 12/02/2006. So what are the odds that Bob's Red Mill, which is a very highfalutin, fresh granary, this wheat was harvested. They harvest their own wheat, they buy it straight. What are the odds that this was harvested before Pesach? Before April.
Not good.
Okay. Right, not good. There's a good chance that this is called chadash. You see that I used it? Okay, we'll see why. Why are you allowed to eat chadash or not chadash? So again, this is a terminology. It's very important. Chadash is prohibited. Yashan is permitted. And this, by the way, is a Torah law. Right, it's right there in the Torah. I can show you black and white.
And what matters is when it was harvested.
Yes.
So if it sits on the shelf a year,
fine,
we can use it.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I know Mrs. Gittleman's daughter. Her name is Applebaum. So she lives in the complex of Eretz Yisrael in Toronto, and they all keep chadash. One of the things they do is they stockpile. So they'll stockpile, at least definitely as the winter comes along, they'll stockpile pasta and all that. They really, their garage is full of this stuff. You know, as she says, as Pesach comes, if you're running out of this and I'm not running out of that, they all switch around. But they have it all worked out. It's a whole different kind of thing.
Well, they did it in New York, right after Pesach. Ivana said, 2 days after the stores stock all their pasta stuff and their cereals and whatever, because they know that
a
certain group of people are going to come in and
buy a ton of it.
Basically stockpile it, like
correct.
You said.
I mean, I think that what Jerusalem does is, in order to have all Yashan flour, they have a warehouse where they buy a certain amount for the year. Because otherwise, it's very hard to get specifically Yashan flour.
I don't remember. Doesn't flour go bad after a while? Explosion goes bad?
You have to probably seal it well. Probably in modern storage techniques and keep it, if it's not full of bugs before, in Israel it could be a big problem. But I think in America it's less of a problem.
So okay? Like General Foods, the ones that have OUs, that's all they
No, they don't.
Oh.
No, they don't. Right? They're relying on a certain leniency that we will discuss.
On flour, okay? There's a date.
Yeah.
Not always, but not necessarily. You could check it if you're careful about
that. Flour has
Russian. Okay. Next, what's Klai HaKerem? So this you'll never have. Klai HaKerem is produce that was grown in close proximity to a vine, to grape growing. That's Klai HaKerem, and it's not allowed to be eaten. So you're not allowed to mix different types of species together. I don't know anybody who does this. You're not allowed to do it. Don't do it.
They okay? Their vineyards.
Right, exactly. Right. They usually don't sell produce near. Okay? What's Orla? Anybody know what Orla is? Orla is right. It's the fruits of a tree during its first 3 years. Okay? And then in Israel, the fourth year, what do you have to do? You have to take it to Jerusalem, or you have to redeem it and take the money to Jerusalem. Okay, but again, most fruit trees don't produce during the first 3 years, so that doesn't become a problem. Chadash is a problem. And finally, the last one is Tevel. Look at Yud Tet, the bottom left-hand corner on the side. Yud Tet. HaTevel Ketran. What is Tevel? This is not Tevel, by the way. This one you can eat. Do you know why you can eat it? Because my wife, when she buys it, took off the tumas and maestros from a bunch of different peppers that she had bought together. See, that's the irony about tevel. You can't look at it and know. What is tevel? Kol ochel, any food, shilchayev lahafish mimena trumos umaisros, that you must take off truma and maser, kodem shiyapish mimenu, before you take it off, nikra tevel. It's called tevel. Ve'asur le'echol mimenu. You're not allowed to eat it. What's another word for saying you're not allowed to eat it? What would we say if you can't eat it?
Strength,
not kosher. But see, how could a pepper be not kosher? How could a pepper you buy in Michigan be not kosher? So first of all, if you live in Israel, you're always aware of this. You're just aware of it. It's another thing. If you don't live in Israel, you must be careful. Now, by the way, I am very much, like, you know, every now and then, in the wintertime, you'll see, right, a sign go up, be careful. Produce from Israel.
Yeah.
Right? I disagree. Buy produce from Israel. They need you to buy the produce from Israel. First, so, what do you have to do? You have to separate the trumas and maaser. It is not complicated. Now, maybe you know what? Maybe I'll do that next week. Because it's not hard. You'll see. We'll just go through some of the laws and explain to you how to do it. I'll show you how to do it. And also, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to separate trumas and maaser. To separate these things. We can't eat them. You don't waste. It doesn't really waste a lot. And that way, you get to do an extra mitzvah. And you're supporting the farmers in Israel. So I very much am against people who say, be careful, because, like, you know, all of a sudden all the Jews are not buying the products from Israel. And they're, no, buy the products from Israel and know how to separate them.
It's just produce.
Produce, only produce, okay?
Do you have to cut it to separate it?
What?
You have to cut it to separate it?
Yeah, we'll see. I'll show you. Va'ochel kezayis min ha-tevel, and four lines at the bottom. That's serious. If you eat a kezayis ha-tevel, kodem shiyapish min menu truma gidola u trumas maser, before you separate truma and trumas maser, chayav misha b'dei shemayim. Okay, you are chayav misha b'dei shemayim, which means divine execution. So don't mess around with it. It's not to be trifled with, this tevel thing. Okay, it's a very serious thing. And it should not be taken... It should not be taken lightly. So I think that's what we'll do next week. Next week we will do Trumos and Maestros, and I will finish the ones we didn't talk about, which are, there are a number of different halachas relating to food that comes in contact with or related to non-Jewish people. It's very relevant today, very important halachas, which we will, God willing, get to next week. So in between now and then, buy Israeli produce, and if you have any questions, I will help you take it off.
Truma
is the part that goes to the Kohen. It's not a tithe, because the tithe is a tenth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Maser is the tithe that goes to the Levi.
Gotcha.
Okay? But really, the only part that is prohibited to be eaten under such strictness or severity is the Truma and the Trumas Maser, all the parts that go to the Kohen. You have to be careful. You have to know that these are issues that a person should be aware of.